You're listening to The Wildcast with Calvin Coyles.
Welcome to The Wildcast. I'm your host, Calvin Coyles, international speaker, best-selling author, and your personal growth mentor. Each week, I answer your questions in wellness, income, love, lifestyle, and direction, as well as a few epic interviews with thought leaders from around the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Master Coach Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Barrett, your Director of Programs here at Wild Success. And today I am joined by Marlene Kleber, who is a women's empowerment coach, as the name of her coaching business as well. And we're going to be going through some tools, some hacks, some tactics on how you can grow as a coach. What are some of the things that Marlene does that maybe you can pick up on to help everyone and the community grow as coaches? So Marlene, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Yeah.
That's good. So tell me a little bit more. Obviously, your business name being, you know, Marlene Kleber, and, you know, women's empowerment coaching, it's all kind of pretty straightforward, but tell me a little bit more, I guess, about who you work with specifically and what do you do?
So I'm starting off fresh, but I have gone down the niche of working with women in eyesight and their quarter life crisis. So I guess it's somewhere where I found myself is and I was 26, my husband left me with a newborn baby, and I was like, oh, what do I do with my life? And I found that in that time I was connecting with my friends, and even though they didn't have this massive life event happen to them, similar feelings were coming up where you just kind of, people just feel like they want to reinvent themselves. So it's just something I attracted, I think, especially with friends and even other people who were just talking to me going, so you've had this big thing happening. What are you doing for yourself now? And then evolving into a new space. And for me, it was coaching, automatically doing that for other people around me as well. And so that's why that became my niche in coaching.
Right. Awesome. Really nice and clear. So working with those sort of quarter life crisis, so to speak.
Crisis, yeah.
That's a big transition point for a lot of people in their life, right? The early to mid 20s is when you're sort of, you know, as soon as you hit that 25, you can no longer say you're in your early 20s. And that's kind of like it's almost like hitting 30 these days. That's your like identity shift.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
when you start to think of yourself as an older person. It's like other people are buying houses and doing things. And now I've got to, do I have to grow up and be an adult now? And
totally. Yeah. And I think it's that classic, oh my God, my 30s are coming up and I don't have children. For me, I did have a child, but my marriage had just fallen apart really suddenly and I was totally out of control. I didn't have a house. And it's those things that you want to have ticked off. Like I have a friend who always says to me, I always thought I will have it sorted by 30 and I've only got 1 year to go. And I'm like, I think we need to change mindsets there a little bit so people can feel happy and confident in who they are and where they're at. And I guess that's essentially just what I do is I work with women in that space. And it's you do change things around, but it's also recognizing what they've got and in what direction they can move into to feel good about themselves. That doesn't have to be a house, children, a marriage. Not that any of those things are bad or wrong. I want all of those things too, but it's going, well, what actually fills me up? What is coming from the inside rather than what is the outside telling me what I should be?
Yeah, really powerful. Getting them to get rid of those expectations, right? The societal expectations, like, yeah.
With social media and everything that's affecting us, it's really hard to just calm down and just go, right, what is me? What do I need to feel good mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually? Not what do I think other people need me to be?
Yeah, you really touched on something there with the whole social media thing, that whole thing, right? The Instagrams and the Facebooks, but that pressure and expectation that people oftentimes will put on themselves just from seeing other people doing well. And I would say, as a almost 29 year old male, I probably am not the best equipped to empathize, but that for young women it is probably even harder to deal with those expectations I find I can sort of live without social media quite well, but I find that there's definitely a lot of the sort of the younger female clients that we have come through, or they're very active on there. And even sort of people that I know, relatives, they are it's more likely the women who are on there and they're scrolling, they're going through the reels, they've got those mm-hmm. sort of, you know, Fitspo and Inspo people that have, you know, these amazing houses and doing all these mm-hmm. things. And the pressure can really build mm-hmm. in a situation.
And you go,
like that.
How do I keep up? How do I keep yeah. up? I mean, even me as starting a business as a coach, and I have no doubt that I'll get there. I'm confident, I'm passionate about what I do. But you go, where do I start? How am I going to do this? I can't do it like them. I'm not going to be able to keep up. So you're going, well, what works for me and how can I still be authentic and not fall into that trap of just presenting something that's not real? How are you going to be that person that's real without putting more pressure on people of being perfect and the looking like the way they feel like they should look rather than the reality? And yeah.
Yeah, I guess it all really comes back down to, you know, what do you really want? Right. And for a lot of people, that's so blurred. They don't have an idea of what they want versus what they think they should want. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think your genre of coaching will really come into it and really help people
totally.
With this. 100%. It's those expectations and those ideals of just forgetting that we already know what we want. We already know
totally.
Deep down who we are and what we want. We've just kind of smothered it up with all of this other crap. And
yeah.
as a result, it
and we're
hard.
Busy. We're so yeah. busy that it's so hard to take time out to just stop and think, well, am I actually happy? If not, what can I do to change it and what do I want? Rather than going, right, I'm getting up. I mean, especially say if you have children, even just one like me, you get up, you sort them out, then you're going to drive them there or you have them at home all day, you're changing a nappy, you're making food. Then you might go to work for a little bit. There's so much going on. And then at nighttime, you might want to do a course or something. So by the time you get around to going, well, what do I actually want? Is this actually right for me? You're tired. You're exhausted. You haven't had the capacity left. And I guess that's coaching's really amazing because you get someone that can ask the right question, that knows the questions to ask to help people get that out. But something else that really worked for me is meditation. So that is like these powerful tools, which I guess coaching tools that coaching can help you find as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the goal of the coach, right? Is to shortcut the process. You could sit at home and meditate and go through all of the different sort of frameworks and ask yourself the questions, but it becomes an overwhelming task at the end of the day.
Totally.
I kind of liken it to a fitness journey in a way. I know enough about training and nutrition to do my own stuff for mm-hmm. whatever my goals are. Like, I know enough about that. But at the end of the day, I don't want to think like, all right, now what? I've got to come up with a new training program for myself. I've got to come up with new macros and new things, whatever. But me doing it for myself, it's even if I know it all, it's still exhausting. And mm-hmm. I can't imagine how exhausting it would be for, you know, a mom at the end of the day. Like, I'm not a dad yet. I will be in October, which is, you
know, I know. Very congratulations.
Very exciting. yeah, but it's to have a coach to then say, hey, I've got 15 minutes to kind of I've got a break here or half an hour on an evening, rather than sit down. And a lot of people will make it this big task of sitting down with like a journal or something and writing out all these notes of who do I want to be. Like, I'm going to sit down at the end of the day of being exhausted, looking after my kid and trying to look after myself and think, what do I want to do with my life? Like, that's a big ask. That's a big question. So having a coach to kind of cut through the noise and
totally.
not do the thinking for you, but just pose those really effective questions to get your mind on the right track is mm-hmm. so powerful. And I completely agree, especially for mums.
Yeah. And you feel supported, right? You're not like, oh, I have to do this all by myself. There's someone that's holding your hand, walking you through those steps and going, we've got this, you can do this. Sometimes it's just the reassurance. And I've noticed that with some of my clients is you get to know them a little bit and they say something, they go, oh, I don't know if I can do that. And you're like, I've talked to you 3 times now. You can totally do this. Like, look, you told me about this thing you did, and that's the energy you're going to need for this. And then they're like, oh, you're right, I can do that. And that's all they need. And the power in that one sentence is, you can do that, this, you've totally got this, is amazing.
Yeah, 100%. And I really like that sort of frame that you've used there of, and this is something that I like to use often, I think is a really good tool and technique for coaches as a whole, is the idea of bringing back someone's either past failures or past successes or whatever they've done that are relevant to what they're trying to achieve right now, to remind them, as you said, hang on, you said you've done this before. This is not exactly that foreign to you. So, mm-hmm. you know, I say this to people when they say, oh, I haven't felt happy or joy in a long time or whatever. I've never felt something. I'll be like, well, what about when you were like 5 years old? Oh yeah, well, I felt it then. I'm like, well, that's already invalidated that statement, and it takes away the power of it when you can get, people tend to be very broad in the things that they can't do and very, very specific in the things they can do, because it just, it's like that way. It's like, all right, I'm playing safe, right? If I say I've never done this or I could never do this, then I don't open myself up to the opportunity to fail or, you know, look like a fool or whatever. But then when you remind them, hey, hang on, no, you have actually done this before, it reminds them, shit, actually, it's okay to try. I tried that when it was new and I did it. So, you know, gives them a sort of, just being like a cheerleader, you're reminding them, hey, you have the resources to do this. It's not about the coach. It's about what the client's done and reminding them of their greatness, kind of thing.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And I think people forget to look at the things that they take as totally normal, like events that happen to them, that happens to everyone, like losing someone. That's a really massive growing thing to go through, but it happens to everyone at some point, hopefully not too early. But people don't recognize the growth and the things you had to go through to push through that, or for if it's not something extreme like that, it could just be going to school for the first day when you were a kid. That's really hard. That is, well, not for everyone. Some people might think it's a piece of cake, but for some children, that would have been a massive overcoming, and there would have been so much growth in that. And so it's if you don't feel like, okay, you didn't get the certificate or blah, 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 but there's all these little things that we all have to go through that developmentally and in terms of growth are so valuable that can't be underestimated.
Yeah, and I guess that's a big underlying and underpinning thing of NLP as a whole, is the science of achievement. They call it science of achievement and the art of fulfillment, right? Fulfillment and feeling fulfilled being a bit more of an art, and achievement actually being something you can kind of model and replicate. The big thing being, why not model some of your past behaviors? Like if you've did these series of steps and you overcame this challenge, there's nothing saying you can't apply that to this challenge, but as an adult, we just get so caught up in ourselves. I was literally on a coaching call just before this with a woman who just was struggling to put herself out there and was worried about, at the end of the day, worried a bit about judgment in terms of social media, of, you know, other people and all of that, all of, you know, the good opinion of others. And I didn't even have to say anything to her before. She was like, I just kind of got to post it, don't I? I was like, hey, glad you said it, not me, right? But we get so caught up as adults about the judgment of others. Like when you're a kid, you just do random stuff. Right, you just do whatever you feel like in the moment, or if you something's, you know, not sitting 100% right, you vocalize it or you push through it or you give it a go, and then you're on the other side of it really quickly. Whereas adults, we sort of sit here and ponder all the different consequences and the things that may or may not happen, and we just get caught up in that cycle, which is just, it is such a waste of time.
And that, on that topic of putting yourself out there, I had a client too that was worried about putting herself out there, and the fear of judgment was more being scared of judgment from people that were closer to her rather than potential clients, which I found really interesting. And it was a really good topic to explore. So it's like, if you think that these people close to you are going to judge you, what does that mean about your relationships? You know, people close to you should be supporting you and picking you up. And this might be actually a really good time to go, well, who does support me and pick me up, and a good assessment for that friendship group or family or support network.
It's hard, right? A lot of people have a bit of a sunk cost when it comes to relationships, right? And sunk cost, for those listening, is that economic principle of, just because we've spent a lot of money in it, like the fallacy of the sunk cost fallacy is, we've invested a lot of money in, so we've already invested that money, so we should continue to invest money because we've already invested so much to make it work. Whereas if you write it off as a sunk cost, it's like, hey, we went that far, it didn't work, whatever. And it's the same thing with relationships, right? And time and the people that you spend your time with. You might have a realization one day of, hey, this is not a relationship that's serving me, maybe in its current format, maybe at all. But the strength it takes to then say, all right, well, that's then a sunk cost. I'm going to have to start distancing myself from this person because they're not adding to my life. You have to be very selfish or self-focused, I would like to say, because a lot of people have a negative connotation with selfish, to put that boundary up and say, hey, I need to focus on myself. Right now, I'm putting their needs above my own, or their requirements of feeling loved or feeling happy or not feeling rejected above my own progress and goals in life, right? Mm-hmm. You only get this life once. If you spend it trying to make other people happy at your own expense, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I find what I do end up focusing a lot on is relationships and I guess that's being able to be selfish and being okay with that. And like, I've come to the term where you literally just have to flick people, like, and it's so harsh as it sounds, but flicking people and how freeing it can be. I mean, you don't need to go and send them a message and say I've flicked you, but just for you personally to just go, yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
To just go, you know what, I'm done, I'm going to create distance. The weight that can lift off someone is amazing, but it's really hard because it's, and that relationship might be totally in your comfort zone, and to actually push someone away a little bit to create space for yourself can seem really hard.
Yeah, it can be really challenging for people to let go of those old, as you say, comfortable relationships, mm-hmm. because you've been letting things slide for a long time, and they might, and this is the thing, right? It's like they're not doing anything wrong. They've not done anything wrong. It's not like they're the villain in the story necessarily. It's mm-hmm. just that they're living from their paradigm, their map of reality. You're living from yours. And it just so happens that there's a bit of a mismatch and the way mm-hmm. that the friendship is showing up. And the best thing you can do is to be honest with them and say, hey, look, in recent times, I've just been feeling like every time I've been catching up, I'm feeling like you're really focused on the negative aspects of, you know, maybe it's what I'm doing or what just people are doing in general. And look, I understand you're coming from a place of love, but just I wanted to let you know that that's really not helping where I'm at, and it's actually kind of dragging me down a little bit and not making me feel as light about our friendship or whatever it is. Like that real on, if it is a real true friend, that real honest heart to heart will bring things up. Otherwise, you know, it'll bring the snakes out of the grass. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, then my favorite expression is then the trash takes itself out kind of thing.
Yeah. And that does make it easier. I once heard this thing about a powerful relationship, and this was meant for a partnership, but I think it goes with any relationship really, is if you want to have a meaningful uplifting relationship, you need to be on the same level emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, and maybe even have some sort of interest. And it's not that you can't have relationship with people that aren't at the same level, but for it to be a meaningful, deep, connected relationship, you need to be sort of on par. And there will always be fluctuations, and you can lift each other up and pull each other down a little bit, but in the end, if someone's down here and you're up here, that is just going to drag and pull, and it's not going to work, and it's not going to flow.
It's reminding yourself, what is the purpose of all of these relationships? Because there might be those people where it's like, hey, I want to go out and, you know, drink a few Proseccos and have a laugh and go out on a night out. But that might be a night you have once every 6 months to a year. But they're not a year-round, talk to them every day kind of friend.
Yeah, right?
they're not that persistent in your life. But you want to make sure I've been having this conversation recently with some people in my circle around some of their friends that they're just not aligning with as much anymore, and they're like, oh, well, I don't think we can be friends. I was like, no, you're just not going to be able to be friends the way you used to be.
Yeah,
your friendship is evolving, and you know, you're just not going to be. And for example, this was a friend of theirs that was struggling with the idea of, you know, them not being best friends anymore and being the closest people because they had others in their circle that they could go to for that kind of stuff. It's like, that's mm-hmm. okay, right? Let them find the right friendships for them that don't drain you and don't drain the other person, and let that sort of best fit fall where it does. It's relationships with other people, as we said, you sink so much time and so much effort into them.
Yeah, and in the end, we only have so much capacity. We can actually only, like, I mean, this talk, what do they say, the five top people, you only actually have that time for those five top people, that real, true, meaningful time. So you really want to think wisely, who are you going to give that time to?
Yeah, exactly.
Those are your five top people. Yeah. And if you let someone in that's taking all your energy, that's not letting
20%
someone
20% of
out.
Your life.
Yeah.
20% of your, what we call, you know, peer pressure is a thing, no matter what. Mm-hmm. It's either pushing you up or it's pushing you down. Mm-hmm. Right, you either got peer pressure of people trying to get you to smoke and skip the gym and go out for burgers every night or whatever it is, and or you've got people in your circle, those, you know, those five people that are encouraging you to pursue your goals, challenging you to do hard things, you know, pushing you to be a better person. And that's, when you think about it, as 20% of your life, 20% of your peer pressure, right, is either going to be pulling you up or down. That's what one person represents. If you think about the five people you spend the most time with, and I'm very lucky in the fact that a lot of my family, like I spend time with Calvin is my brother-in-law, right? And my brother, Kim, he runs a marketing business. We go for walks every day. We have these higher level conversations about lots of, you know, lots of different stuff, whether it's relationships or people or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got these people that lift you up. My wife being a, you know, a coach in her own right, and she used to be a coach for people with, you know, fibromyalgia and people who have been dealing with autoimmune conditions, right? So she's got a wealth of experience in NLP as well. Those conversations and those people will push you to be better, but then you've got to make the hard decision, right? It's one of those, it's a decision that's hard now.
This might not have that life change. Becoming a parent is very life changing. And so a lot of the women that I've worked with, they have gone, my friends don't invite me to things anymore. They don't do this with me, or they don't want to talk to me about this, and take it very personal. And I guess that's kind of being on the other end, with the receiving end, where you're not fitting in with them anymore, but also going, well, hang on, do they fit in with you anymore? Because you're a parent now, and you need support as a parent, and you need friends as a parent, and you have connections with other people, and that's okay.
100%. Yeah. I think people worry about, you know, it's that whole fear of rejection, not feeling good enough, not feeling loved, that whole cycle that people worry about, when other people, it's like, hang on, they're almost... Not necessarily doing you a favor, but they are in essence prompting the conversation to be like, hey, is this the best relationship for me right now? Right? Mm-hmm. Going out and doing those things. Is that something that I actually want? Or am I just reacting defensively to the idea of being hurt, the idea of being not good enough? And so as a result, I'm feeling that, as opposed to saying, hang on, this is actually, you know, this is something that I probably would have done if they hadn't done it. Or if they invited me, I probably would have said no. But sometimes we just like to be invited places.
Yeah. And if they have a child one day, you'll be there ready to greet them with open arms, and you'll have so much you can offer them in terms of advice, and they'll go, oh my God, I had no idea. And that can make you feel good
too. I mean, that's something I've noticed a lot with a lot of obviously my wife is pregnant, but then a lot of her friends, and then my sister obviously has recently had a baby as well. A lot of people work with, honestly, in the last 2 years, there's been about 10 babies in my circle. It's just a little pool of fertility. Thanks COVID. But the thing I've noticed is, yeah, the mums are naturally just gravitating towards each other. Obviously, yeah. Things like the mums groups and that kind of stuff. But it does kind of fundamentally change the conversations that you have if you're having... If you have a child, like it just, it naturally you're, now I'm sure you can attest to this probably more so than me, but it becomes your number one focus. And even Calvin and my sister have mentioned that from time to time, like you've got, like there's a kind of helpless little thing that you are solely responsible for. Like I've been responsible for things before, but not on this scale. So I'm excited to have that aspect of life come up and be responsible for a little bubs. Yeah. But yeah, it fundamentally changes your focus and the things that are important to you almost overnight. And I don't think it's something that you can relate to unless you've gone through it, I imagine, right? Like I'm anticipating it, but I don't think I'll be able to relate to it until I'm there.
No, but it doesn't, you don't even have to. It's just being open-minded to it, I think. And I think that means a lot for people that do have children. And the next step from that would be, then you've got different parenting styles, and that then again divides people into different groups. It's amazing how some people I've connected with, because it's so easy and we get along and we have the same parenting styles, and some people you don't see anymore because this doesn't work. Say I've got a friend whose sleep routine, like sleep is going to become a big topic in your life.
Yeah.
Or you might have an amazing sleeping baby, and then everyone's going to be really jealous. But the sleep routine, it's a topic. And if someone naps their child at home every day for their 3 naps a day when they're little, and you just go and do your thing and they just nap while you carry them around, that's going to create different schedules and different commonality. And that's just how it is.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I have heard that from Calvin and from my sister, being that there's so much ability for judgment around like the way that you parent in those groups, and to be very mindful of the advice that you take, and really listening to your baby and your child as an individual, and really saying, you know, like, all right, well, what does my child, what is going to work best for us, and kind of you know, because every parent, every grandparent, every aunt and uncle, and every person out there is going to be like, oh, well, this is what works. Trust me, I did it once myself. Like, it's like, hang on, you've got to find what works best for you. And I mean, hey, that's a lesson you can kind of take through any area of your life, right? Mm-hmm. Is really finding, as we talked about at the start, what is it that is going to work best for you? What is going to be the right one for you? And forget what the expectations are.
Totally, and trust your gut and your instinct. And in the end, sometimes you've just got to say, no, thank you, I don't need your advice. I work with, I help facilitate a mums and babies group as well. And it's so rewarding. A lot of it is educational, but you just see how everyone's so different. Everyone has different needs, and daycare is another massive topic. And there's all these things that go, what's good for their brain development? But I always say, well, it's their development is really important in their well-being and their attachment, but you have to look at the picture and the well-being of the family unit, or you and your baby. And in the end, that's the most important thing. So there needs to be a balance, and only you will know.
Yeah, exactly.
You can give all the information, but you know, people say breastfeeding is best. Well, if you can't breastfeed, you can't breastfeed. Obviously, it's not the best thing. Yeah,
we've had friends that haven't been able to produce enough milk, so the child has been underweight and they've been struggling, and so, you know, as a result, it's like, well, yeah, you're like, and you've got to undergo the, you know, the potential judgment of others, and you've got to sort of be ready for that, which is why I can see why then you know, as mothers and their children get older, there's definitely a I don't give a fuck what you think mentality that can grow and develop, because it's like, I tried all these things and I did it my own way and it worked. It's like, well, why am I going to take your opinion anymore? I guess listen to the opinion of others. And I think Ash and Cal did that recently with sleep training Alila. They had they were trying to do what other people were saying, like, yeah, to put them down for naps and do this. And Ash was telling me, she's like, I'm not showing up as the best mum for Alila when I'm dog tired. I was like, let's just try do this and, you know, deal with the sort of the process of putting it through. And she's like, she took to it like a duck to water, like, you know, sleeping all through the night now. She goes down, you know, within 5 minutes of lights out, she's asleep, and it's perfect. So we're very lucky to have some people in our corner 100% that have already gone through this process, and I'm sure we'll have better conversations about it. But it all comes down to letting go of the expectations and the opinion of other people that don't have a dog in that fight, because
it might not apply to you, and you'll reassess and still find what works for you.
Exactly. And that's a basic principle for life. If something's not working and not going the way you're at, the way that you want it to, then take a pause, stop, reassess, think, all right, what do I need to adjust? What do I need to change? And do so with the new information. I think people get so caught up in having the entire process figured out. You know, at 3 months, we'll do this. At 6 months, we'll do this. You know, whether it's a child, whether it's a baby, a business, whatever it is, they have this ideal. And one thing I've learned recently was, you know, you want to be really rigid in your goal and like your outcomes. You know, I want a happy, healthy child. Or if it's, I want a successful business, and success to me looks like this and it means this. But you've got to be flexible in your approach. There's a couple of projects that I've been investing in recently, and one of them involves, you know, a lot of the projects in a similar space. It's in the sort of crypto area, but they talk about the idea of, oh, well, people come in there, what's the roadmap? Right? I want to know by Q3 2022, what's like the roadmap? What's the goal? What's the path? And they're like, well, we don't want to put a roadmap out, because if a better opportunity comes along, or a opportunity to pivot and to diversify and to go into something different comes along, we don't want to have put out false information saying we're going to do something, but then we don't actually do it. We want to keep ourselves open to new and different opportunities. So just because your goal is a certain one doesn't mean you have to follow a certain path to get there. If you leave yourself open to opportunities along the way, it will leave you far more, I guess you'll end up with far more opportunities, because you'll have the room for them, as opposed to being rigid and, no, this is the roadmap, this is the thing I said I was going to do, so I have to do it in this way. It's like, no, have the goal, be rigid in achieving of that goal, but be flexible in how you get there, because there's going to be so many different routes you can take. And as you said, you've got to find the one that's right for you.
You just don't know what's going to be thrown
at
you.
Yeah.
There might be COVID, there might be a war in the Ukraine, like, you just don't know. You might get sick.
Yeah, 100%. And these things happen as the last 2 years.
You might have an autistic child.
Exactly. You have no control over these things, which is why it's best to try and relinquish control over the process, and instead try to control or domesticate what you can, which is your emotional response, the people you spend your time with, you know, the the actions that you do take moving towards what you want at the end of the day.
Totally. Yeah, that's really powerful.
Yeah. So pivoting the conversation slightly, we've talked, I think, a good amount about some of the, I guess, questions and the things that you focus on in your coaching. As far as NLP goes, what would be one of your favorite sort of couple of go-to tools if you have used any with clients, or if you found you've just done a little bit more sort of intuitive coaching, but what would be your favorites if you used any?
My favorite one would probably be the belief change. It's probably, if I'm honest, it's because I've done it the most and I feel like I've got it down packed, and I've seen such good results with it. And just that, having that like a strong belief like I'm not good enough, and seeing when someone lets that go how it has implemented it with multiple people, their life in so many ways. And like I remember one client once saying to me, oh wow, it's not just that I don't feel like I'm not good enough, like I'm now putting myself out there, but I also feel so much calmer when I talk to my children and my partner. Like totally not what we were aiming for, but just I don't know, there was like the self-worth that had come back up, that it's going, actually I can do this, I'm totally capable, I'm good enough to have these healthy relationships and just be calmer. So yeah, that's my favorite.
100%, because when you're coming from a place of not feeling good enough, and let's say, for example, you're defensive, or you know, whenever you feel like anything's going wrong, you internalize it, you take it as a reflection of yourself. And then, yeah, in those situations with your child or your partner, you might lash out, you might have a bad day and take it out sort of outwardly, because you're not feeling competent enough, you're not feeling good enough, which means you can't accept, I guess, if something's gone wrong or you're feeling criticized, it's like got to project it outwards, can't take it on board, because there's already sort of too much of that I'm not good enough going on, and you're trying to almost reject it. Whereas if you let go of that, as you say, the ramifications, and people don't realize how not feeling good enough or being insecure about who they are and their abilities shows up in so many different areas of their life, which is why it's probably the number one thing that most people struggle with is that idea or that belief of not feeling good enough.
I found I'm not good enough and I'm not worthy. Those are both like top two things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And 100%. It's amazing how people, if you dig deep enough, eventually you can get them there, and they're like, oh yeah, that's it. That's it. That's totally it. Like, right. Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah, don't worry. I knew that about 3 sessions ago, but I'm glad you thank you for joining me. We're on the same page now. Perfect. So I guess final question for me is, as a coach who's gotten started, who's working with clients, who's doing this stuff, what would be the number one bit of advice that you would give to a new coach who's just looking at getting started, maybe, you know, dipping their toe in the industry? What's something, a couple of bits of advice that you might give to them?
I think for me, just in my unique situation, being a solo mom with a child that doesn't go to daycare, so I'm on most of the time. Like right now, my mum's looking after my child, and I drove to her house so I can do this interview. So for me, it's any progression is good, and it might take you time, and you might want things to go faster, but as long as you're moving forward, it's good. And I really had to accept that for someone that's usually go, like I've done lots of sports training before, and I was always pushed really hard. And so wanting to start a business, I just wanted to push, but there's just a lot else going on in my life. So I've really had to step back and go, okay, one step at a time. If I can get 2 hours twice a week, that's good. And that's progress. And since I've done that, like it's just been, I'm making progress. Everything's good. We're getting there slowly. And I have, like, the doubts are gone. I know I can do this and I will get there, and it's cool. Yeah. And so that's from being a parent from that perspective.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Love that. It's a very valuable bit of advice for people who are just getting started, is seek that progress, not perfection, and be okay with whatever little steps you can take.
And everyone, for me, it's being a parent, and for other people, it maybe being a parent or still having a job that you don't want to give up. And there's all sorts of things that happen every day. So if you're committed, like I'm still 100% committed, you will get there, even if it might be a little bit slower than what you wish. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, that's what you need. You need that commitment to the bigger picture goal. And then at the time frame, the speed at which you go, the urgency isn't as important as the overall commitment to reach the destination, right? Like the person who burns all their fuel on the first leg of the journey isn't going to make it the whole way, whereas the person who keeps consistent and keeps chugging away, we'll get there eventually. And that's what made, then people are like, oh my God, how did you get there? It's like, well, I wasn't as impatient as you. I was willing to make the small progress when you thought that was too little, right?
Yeah.
And just I remember having this.
Taking the time. For me, if I missed one of the master calls, like, it's like, okay, I can watch the repeat. It's okay. Because for me, it's something that I'd be there every time. Yeah. But the reason I'm doing things, I did my training through Wild, is because it catered for me being the solo parent with a child that wakes up multiple times in the night. I wasn't always able to be there. And the reason I chose Wild is because it meant I was able to do it later. And I've had to do that. And it's okay. Still doing it. It's all good. We're moving forward. And yeah, it's all good.
Yeah. Well, we're glad that you did choose us and whether we could make it accessible enough for you to make it work. It reminds me of when I first gained weight and I got up to about 105 kilos was because I injured my lower back. And as a result, I was like, well, I can't do these big heavy lifts that I really wanted to do, like squats and deadlifts. I can't do those anymore. So if I can't do those, then what's the point? And then what's the point in going to the gym? It's like, well, first of all, I could have done a bunch of upper body stuff. I could have gotten jacked upper body. But I didn't, because I wrote pretty much everything off, stopped it, didn't go for walks, didn't manage my nutrition, didn't do anything, just kind of threw it all out the window because one element wasn't 100% where I wanted it to be. And I was like, hang on, that is such a rigid approach to achieving anything. It's like one thing goes wrong, things are going to go wrong, right? Mm-hmm. There's going to be stuff that happens that doesn't align. You've got to be able to pivot when you can pivot. And we're really glad that we were able to.
And you need to adapt. So, like with exercise, it's a real common one. People go, well, I used to be this amazing. I should be able to do this. But the fact is, you are what you are. So you need to adapt to what you are now. Mm-hmm. And every step is a step in the right direction. And I guess that's the same for me becoming a coach. And that would be my advice, is that you've got to do it the way you can and just slowly keep working forward. And every step is worth it.
Yeah, completely agree. So look, Marlene, thank you for joining me on the call. I think it's been a great conversation. I hope that everyone got as much out of it as I did. If people want to find you online, whether it's like Instagram or Facebook or whatever, where can they find you? What are sort of the tags, the @s?
It's just Marlene Klebert. So Marlene, pronounced Marlene, M-A-R-L-E-N. I was born in Germany, it makes sense in German, but not in English. On Instagram, or I just got my website up. There's a step, so it's marlenekleibert.com.
Perfect.
You can read a bit about me.
Yeah, awesome. And if there are any women that resonate and thinking about letting go of those relationships and understanding them more about their self-worth and really feeling more empowered, or you're just at that quarter life crisis, then 100% reach out to Marlene. Obviously she's been through it. She's been there, done that. And she'll be able to help support you through it. So yeah. Thank you for joining me, and for everyone listening, make sure you leave us if you have a question for Marlene or for us specifically, comment it below. Make sure you leave us a review if you're listening on your podcast app of choice. And if you're listening on YouTube or watching, give us a like, give us a comment, and share it with someone who might need to hear it. But thank you for joining me, Marlene. Until I see you and everyone else, be bold, have fun, make an impact. We'll see you all on the wild side. Until next time, take care.
That's it, Tribe, for another episode of The Wildcast. Please make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Give us a review on iTunes and jump on over to our YouTube channel to catch the video version of the show, because I know you'll love it. Until I see you live or online, be bold, have fun, and make an impact, and I will see you on the wild side.